that's a words are great. And I was trying to oversing that thing, you know. I didn't know it, you know. But I think when you get the when I learn it, it kind of flows out, doesn't it? You all seem to be doing better with it than I. But I was over singing it. There are three portions of Scripture I want us to get to tonight. And the first with Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And begin the verse 31, verses 31 and 32. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Then after you found that, Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And just some verses there, 6 to 8, right there will be in chapter 1. Now, if you've got a marker or something, the third portion of Scripture I want you to find is Revelation 12 and verse 9. Now, we're going to end up where we started with Luke. I just told Brother John Mark, I said, I've got a 20-minute message tonight. Do you think I could stretch it in about 45 to 50 minutes? And he just laughed. And I don't know what that means, really. We'll see. We'll see, but... I've got a 20-minute message. Let's see how long the thing lasts. And Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Now, I'm able to do this because I'm standing. I have the book of Job, chapter 1. I have the gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And I have Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Now, I assume you have that. I see down here, these young men, they're very, very... These guys know how to handle the Bible. They didn't just get one yesterday. They've been working with it through a number of years. Good. They've got it all... They've got it... Look here, they've got it all ready. Let's read then in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. We'll do that first, and this is where we'll come back to. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, using his, didn't use the name Peter, used his given name, his birth name. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And then go all the way back to the book of Job, in chapter 1, and verses 6 through 8, Job chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Satan wasn't paying any attention at all to Job, as far as we know. And God says to Satan, Have you considered Job? Have you looked at Job? Then Satan answered the Lord in verse 9 and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath? On every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And most of you know the story with regard to Job. We'll mention it a couple of times in the message. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. The Bible says that the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Everybody at one time or another is deceived by Satan. Deceiveth the whole world. Everybody at one time or another, saved and lost alike, is deceived by Satan. Now back to Luke 22 and bring you a message tonight, a brief message on sifting. On sifting. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would strengthen us for the week and yea, for the month and for the years and for the rest of our life. But to know that we have to live life day by day and minute by minute, hour by hour, week by week. And so there are the struggles of day-to-day living, and there are times when Satan gets permission to sift us. Maybe be aware of that. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. At some time in your life, Satan will get permission to sift you. At some time in your life, Satan will ask for and get permission to sift you. You need to be aware of that. It's going to happen. It's not a probability that it will happen. It is going to happen. Many people are here tonight, it's already happened. And it could be there's not just one time that that will come. It may be several times or many times. But you just mark it down that sometime in your life, Satan will ask for and get permission to sift you. Now, sifting altogether is not a bad thing. Sifting purifies. The old habit of taking grain and taking flour and sifting out is to get the impurities out. That's what sifting is about. My mama would have a wire container, and she'd sift flour through that wire container, make sure there's nothing that was impure, nothing that should be there. And she'd shake that thing and she'd sift that flour. It takes out the impurity. So sifting is not a bad thing if you gain the victory through the sifting. You see, Job was pre-sifted. And God knew he was pre-sifted. God just turned just a little bit of sifting at first, and don't touch his body. Well, there's a great deal of sifting, not a little bit, in light of this thing. He lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his position, his possessions. But then after that, his own physical body. Satan was given permission to sift Job. God knew that Job was pre-sifted. God knows the end from the beginning, so he knew that Job. And God knows how we'll handle our sifting. But you can mark it down, everybody here, at one time or another, will be deceived by Satan, and Satan will ask for and get permission to sift you. The idea is to be wise enough to know when it's happening, to know that Satan is putting upon you a test and bringing to you sifting in your life. And asking the Holy Ghost of God to help you through the sifting. I have been sifted. Satan has asked for and got permission to sift me in my life several times. Several times. Sometimes I've come at it better than other times, but I've been sifted. And after you go through some periods of times of testing, then you won't altogether recognize it up front, but you'll know that something is going on in your life and Satan is trying to deceive you. And there's a sifting process that's going on. Now, what you want to do out of that is to make sure that you gain the purity that comes from it when the sifting comes. Because it's going to come. Jesus said to Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, the devil has to stand in line and put in a request to say, I'd like to sift Peter. And he has to get in line and put in a request so you get permission to sift us. But nonetheless, he gains permission to sift us. Jesus said to Peter, he says, I'm praying for you that you won't fail. And then he goes on in the next verse. He says, I pray for thee but that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Use this sifting to be a strength, to help strengthen the brethren. Now, the sifting of Peter by Satan, there are a number of areas that we see in his life that may help us to know about in our own lives. In Matthew chapter 26 and verses 36 through 40, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36 through 40, Jesus gave Peter a job to do. Jesus gave Peter a job to do, along with James and John in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36 through 38. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He said to Peter, he said with the other, James and John, he says, I want you to watch with me. Jesus went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And as he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? There'll be a sifting that'll take place in your life when God gives you something to do, when the Lord gives you something to do. And then the devil will come with the sifting and pull that away and try to get you so that you're not, you'll be asleep as Peter was on the job and not doing that the Lord gave you to do. And you know in your heart that which God gave you to do, that which God set apart for you to do. And a sifting time comes, and many times instead of purifying, there's a falling away during the sifting time, the deception by Satan. We find also in Matthew 26 and verse 56, we find that Peter, out of fear, forsook the Lord and fled along with the other disciples. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And Peter was in that group because of fear. With all of the others, yes, but his failure as he, in fear, moved away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan was sifting him. And it takes place, it doesn't be a major thing. It takes place in little things. I told you on Wednesday night, I willed last week not to sin. This week, again, I will will not to sin. I will not to sin. I will not to sin. It's a sifting time. And there'll be times when you'll be sifted. And you must, in turn, just will not to sin. I will not do that. I will not succumb to that temptation. You will not descend when the sifting comes and the deceiver comes. Peter fled. Peter was fearful and he fled. Then also in Luke chapter 22, back to Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. We find here that which is most easily recognized when we come to the sifting of Peter. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. The Bible said, Then took they Christ and led him and brought him into the high priest's office, and Peter followed afar off. Peter followed afar off. Jesus says that we're to follow him. Peter followed afar off. Peter had friends' involvement now. He had been close to Christ. He fled because of fear. And the sifting is on. Now he's on the fringe, on the fringe. He's on the fringe out there. He's around the edge. Did you know that the wolves get the sheep from the edge of the flock? That's where the greatest temptation, that's where you fall, is from the edge of the flock. Those are on the fringe. Those that get out there and they're not following Christ up close. They're following Christ from afar off. And that's where Peter finds himself, and he's far away from the shepherd and the protection of the shepherd. You see, the wolf is afraid of the shepherd. He's afraid of the shepherd. You stay close to the shepherd, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. But you get out on the fringe area. You get out there where the shifting is taking place. You become a part of the following a far off club. You get a part of that in the friends group and not following a track. And the sifting is on. And on the fringe is where the dangerous place for you to be. You're not on fire for the Lord. You're just lukewarm for the Lord. You're not growing in the Lord. You're just putting in your time as a duty, as it were. And that's the time when, if already you're not being sifted by Satan, Satan will look at you, and there's certain things about your life that he'll see, and he'll make a determination. Well, he'll go and get permission to sift you at that particular time. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 55, When they had kindled the fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Peter's in the wrong crowd. He's not only on the fringe here where the farthest away from the shepherd, he's following the far off, but he's fellowshipping with the wrong people. It's important who your close friends are. It's important the crowd you run with. You're to be friendly with everybody. The people you live with in your neighborhood, the people you work with, you're to be friendly with them. Let me tell you something. If your buddies are lost people or backslidden people, you're set for a sifting from Satan. Satan will watch your life, young people and old people. He will watch your life. And he'll see who your friends are. And they see how you're following after Christ. And if you're fellowshipping with the backslidden and with lost people, you're sitting at the wrong fire. And he'll go to the Father and say, could I have permission, please? I'd like to sift these young men and these young ladies here. I'd like to sift their parents. I'd like to sift their mother and fathers. Everybody at one time in your life, maybe many times, will be sifted by Satan. But he cannot just do that on his own. He must go to God the Father and get permission. He must wait in line and put in his request to get permission to sift you. But he watches your life. He knew the confusion that Peter had. It's Peter that took the sword and cut off the ear as they came to one of those that came after Christ there in the garden when he was betrayed by Judas. And he knew that was a confusing time for Peter. I believe one of the reasons that Peter continued to fall and got in the state that he was, that after Jesus corrected him, he corrected him once when he said, and we brought a message the other night about that, and he says, you don't savor the things of God, but you savor the things of man. And then when he pulled the sword in protecting the Lord, he thought, and he'd just been instructed some new instructions that he'd just gotten. If you read Luke, we read it tonight over there in the all on the altar program tonight, and the teaching there, and I believe he's offended somewhat by that. He meant to do right, and then God heals the ear of the man that he cut his ear off, and he was ripe for being deceived by Satan. He was ripe for sifting. And if you're playing Monopoly with the wrong crowd, then you need to check out and find out that you're hanging out with Christians, those who are born again, those who walk with God. Lest Satan see you with the fringe crowd and warming your hands at the wrong fire. And ask God for permission to sift you. Satan will look at you and say, I see some things in that bag of wheat there. I see some things that I'm going to test him and my sister with. I'm telling you, you can just mark it down. You can just mark it down. At one time, maybe several times in your life, you're going to be sifted by Christ. You're going to be deceived by Satan. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that the word of God giveth, the entrance of the word of thy word giveth light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. The best way to make sure you come out on the pure side when you've been sifted is to stay in the word of God. Now let me ask you something. Let me get you thinking. Now, not to those who don't read your Bible, but to those of you who read your Bible and you read it seriously. You read it seriously. You have, and I'm not talking about trying to stay on the plan and about making sure you get everything done through in a year. Some read it through a year and two or three times in a year. But I'm talking about you read the Bible seriously. Now let me tell you something. The Bible says that the psalmist says, the entrance of the word giveth light. The entrance of the word giveth light. Now you know this. You know this. When you read the Bible systematically and daily, there's a power that's available to you that you do not have any other way. Any other way. And you that don't read your Bible and you're not serious about it, you know nothing about that. It's one of those things like the Lord's Supper. We don't understand all about the Lord's Supper, but we know somehow it empowers us spiritually. And the entrance of the Word of God into our souls, into our hearts, gives us power. And I hate to say mysterious, but it is. If you've not read the Word of God deliberately and systematically, day in and day out, day in and day out, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you read the Word of God, you devour the Word of God, you just take in the Word of God, then when the sifting comes, then you come out on the other side pure. You will not to sin. Not going to do it. Not going to fall into that trap. Not going to do it. But if you backslide and you run with people who are backslidden, and you're on the fringe and you're warming your hands at the fire, places you should not be fellowshipping, Satan will look down and he'll say, hey, there's an area there. I see that bag of wheat. There's some sifting I can do there. I can have some inroads there. Oh, listen, beloved. Little sin leads to little sin, leads to greater sin, leads to greater sin, leads to great sin. It's true. It's true. It's true. But all you that read the Word of God, the entrance of thy Word giveth light. Giveth light. What we're to do in James chapter 4 and verse 7, let me give you that. James chapter 4 and verse 7, and my 20-minute message is about over. James chapter 4 and verse 7. That'll get you turning fast, won't it? James chapter 4 and verse 7. And this is a part of the entrance of thy words giveth light. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, you know why that is? Because, you see, the wolf fears the shepherd. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why? Because you are following Christ close up. Submit yourselves therefore to God. You're reading the Word of God. Resist him, and he will flee. You will not to sin. You will not to sin. You let the entrance of the Word of God come in and give you life. Now let me just build this conviction. Build this conviction in you. If you were reading the Bible deliberately, and day by day by day, and I'm talking about any. You can read how to build the ark and get the power of God. You can read Leviticus and the law and get the power of God. It doesn't have, well, it's got to be the book of Acts. No, all of it's pure. All of it is. So no matter where you can't lose. It's opening anywhere. Now, if you read it systematically, it's better for you. But all of it's powerful. You read all those different things that you got to put on the ark when they were building, when Noah was building the ark. Man, all the construction, all of that. Get over there in Jeremiah and Nehemiah in chapter 3. And Nehemiah in chapter 3. And it says, all the names of the workers and all you, for the whole chapter. I don't know these guys. I can't even pronounce their names. And it sounds like a news broadcast today, doesn't it? When you read chapter 3 of Nehemiah, they're trying to wrestle out how to pronounce. I don't know how to pronounce their names. I read it with authority, and nobody else knows, so I'm fine. And they think that I know it. Just read it with authority. But what? So you just read the names in Nehemiah chapter 3. It's all the Word of God. And all of it empowers you. And the entrance of the Word of God gives you light. Gives you light. Because it's all holy. It's all holy. And so what you do, beloved, you just submit yourselves therefore to God. You just say, Lord, there's your word. Here I am. I know who I am. I know who you are. And I submit to that word as best I know how. Stay there a while. Invite the Holy Spirit to come and say, we want the author in here. And the author to come and teach me from the book of God. That'll just get you through life till you die. Take you to heaven when you die. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You're going to be meandering through life. Just drifting through life. Everything is all right. And you get a phone call. And your world just fell apart. Your world just fell apart. Everybody's going to be sick. at some time in your life you're going to be sifted. Depending on how things are between you and God when the sifting comes, when the deceiver comes, whether it comes out that you're purified or that you fall. But you can mark it down. It's going to happen. To some of you, it's already happened. It's already happened. And to a great host of you, it purified. 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 Hallelujah. Let's pray.